off and running on a Saturday morning, a few minutes behind, but we are here. We are here. Larry Krueger joined by John Chapman. Our co-Saturday stream is back. And we're going to talk off season. We're going to talk about the electrical substation. We're going to talk about Lost in Space. We're going to, I don't know what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about it all. Join us. Off and running on the Krug Show on a Saturday morning meets the John Chapman Experience. We're here. How we'd fix every one of the Niners' major needs. We're going to hit it this morning. We're going to get this offseason rolling in a big, bad way. Welcome to the Krug Show, brought to you by Pig in a Pickle. The best barbecue in all of Northern California is Pig in a Pickle. Check them out there in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week. 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. or until they run out, and they do run out. So get there early, get there often, and tell them Krug sent you. Yeah. All
right. I like that. I like that.
You like that? Hey. Anyway, thanks to Pig in a Pickle, and check them out. They're going to be opening in Petaluma in 2026. Thanks to Pig in a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Thanks to Clawdaddy Arcades for sending us to Philadelphia. He's a great follow at Clawdaddy great follow on Instagram, I should say, at Clawdaddy at underscore. Let me just get that right. My God, I'm looking at the wrong thing. There it is. Great follow. At Claw underscore Daddy underscore Arcades to find a location near you. He's got 7 locations, including one in Capitola Mall. So check him out. Claw Daddy Arcades. All right. We're off and running. We were going to do this extreme like makeover show. But I did see a little news and note from Kev sent me this.
Shout out Kev, legend.
Yeah, Chase Sr. put this out. He says, Christian McCaffrey is one of the 49er players who has voiced concerns about the electrical substation being next to the 49er practice facility and the potential dangers of EMF. CMC and his trainer reached out to Dr. Jack Kruse about this last year. Other Niner players have as well, per Dr. Kruse. Logan Ryan was with the Niners in 2023. He said he's a believer in this theory. He said CMC and George Kittle spend millions on their bodies, take care of themselves better than anybody, yet they still have gotten injured. Delanie Walker played with the Niners 2006 to 2012. He said the substation was being discussed as a problem all the way back then. Once again, if you're the 49ers and you're hoping this is going to go away, you better hope for something new, because I think Joe Rogan's already mentioned it on his podcast, and that right there is just kind of proof that it's never going away. And they're going to have to do something about this. And I don't know what, but they have to do an investigation, figure out if this is legit, if it isn't legit. If it's not legit, they better come out with something that says, that denounces the whole thing. And if it is legit, they better make some significant action to move their practice facility, or in a league where we're going to talk a lot today about free agents and who they may sign. If free agents just are like out of hand, just are dismissing you out of hand because of your locale, that's not a good thing.
It's weird, man. Yeah, I'm not a smart man, Larry. I love football and I love prospects and free agency, the draft and all those things and scheme. EMF is not one of my areas of expertise. So I don't want to sit here and act like I know or I don't know. Anytime I get an email or a DM about this, I just kind of skip over it. Like, I just want to focus on football. But, you know, it's blowing up. And, you know, in the tin foil hat world that we live in and the society we live in, it's kind of where it is. And, you know, I don't know. The injuries that take place for the 49ers, they're catastrophic. And, you know, it's one of those things, causation versus casual. Like, come on, man. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? So, if you're the type of person that's not going to come play for the 49ers because this is there, then I would say probably that's a good thing. I'm just going to be honest. Like, I want people that love football and want to go to programs that are going to have a lot of success. 49ers have had as much success as you could have since Shanahan showed up without the Super Bowl. Outside of that, playoff wins, you name it, division championships, they got it. So I still believe that this is a lot of people want to come here. It's just, it's unfortunate with the injuries. But the one thing that is consistent, the 49ers still have the exact same staff since 2017. That is what should be focused on, the fact that you could have the vice president of player health that has been with the 49ers since 2017. That should be the focus, not power lines and all that other stuff. Kyle Shanahan ain't going to change anybody in his program. It's just not who he is, unless your name is Steve Wilks.
Our fourth and one guru says multi-billion-dollar franchise, just move the damn practice field. I mean, it's a good point. The franchise is worth $9 billion. If you need to construct another field for $300,000, do it.
But Kyle can't even get an indoor practice facility. Like, anytime there are joint training camp practices, he will say, we don't even have an indoor facility. Like, Kyle's wanted this so bad, and he can't get it. And you got all those soccer fields over there that Jed had to kind of, buy off the city council with to keep those there. So you can't use those. And so space is limited in Santa Clara. I wish it was that simple. And if I know, I don't think they're going to be acquiring more land. And I don't know. I think this is just going to be something that just recycles every time somebody gets injured now. And it's their fault. It's their fault.
Well, it's one of those things that perception becomes reality. So it does kind of, we've got this one. The power plant is ruining Larry's immune system. Yes. You know, as I'm battling this sinusitis for the last couple of weeks, people are like, dude, you're constantly sick. No, I went to the doctor. They said it's a sinusitis. I'm taking medicine for it. Hopefully it'll be gone soon. I keep agitating it. There you go. There we go. But I feel pretty good, even though
you look good, Larry.
Even though
you look good,
I'm looking like hell, and I'm wheezing, and I've got all kinds of mucus. But besides that, I'm feeling great. Okay, all I would say is, you know, one or the other: either make a new practice field, or maybe tear out the substation and put it somewhere else. Jed's a very, very wealthy guy. I'm sure he can create a new substation. You know, I mean, so I don't know. But what you can't have this happen is you can't have free agency not open to you. We agree on that, right? You can't have if it becomes one of these things where nobody will sign with you because of the substation. Now you have a major problem because you can't compete. You can't compete in a free agency world where there's really like free agency in the draft, and now you can't use free agency. Ooh, that would be painful for the 49ers long term. All right, let's get into the bigger story, which is the offseason has begun. And some of the people in here are 49ers 2025. You trust Lynch with free agency, LOL? What do you think, John?
How do you feel about Lynch? I like John Lynch. He's not like the best. He's not overly aggressive. He is the number two to Kyle Shanahan. Like, Kyle Shanahan is the de facto GM. Kyle Shanahan gets everything that he wants, and Lynch is kind of the guy that heads up the player personnel, whatever, and he's a politician. Like, you listen to his press conferences now, it's all word salad. How do you say as much as possible without saying anything is possible? But I don't think that Lynch is a negative, but I don't think that Lynch is also the person that sets out and says, hey, this is what we're going to do. I don't think that's John Lynch's role. You know, a lot of people were really upset when Adam Peters left, but I would argue, man, you've had your two of the best drafts. You know, the drafts improved dramatically after Adam Peters left. So the player personnel department's awesome. You've got several people, I think three so far, interviewing for general manager jobs. We'll see what happens. I fully expect Josh Williams to land another general manager job. So I like this front office when they're not hamstrung by spending limits. And so you took kind of your pill and your medicine last offseason, younger, cheaper. You kept hearing it all offseason. Can you finally start to spend a little bit in free agency? And we're going to go through some of those options today.
One of the things, I mean, it's like I like Lynch as a face of the franchise, but, you know, every time I think I like a draft and then I look more at it and then I don't like it anymore. And like, look at 2024 draft. Ricky Pearsall, Renardo Green. I was told by Niner people, not Lynch, but Shanahan, but like people around the team that do know are privy to their thinking, told me coming out of the Philly game that Pearsall and Renardo Green were likely to be traded in the offseason. So that's your first and second round pick in 2024. Then you did get Dom Pooney in the third round, Malik Mustafa in the fourth round. Those are good picks. Guerrero and Cowing, though, in the fourth round are not looking at great picks. Jarrett Kingston's not with the team. Bethune was a good pick in the seventh round for sure. But, I mean, that draft, I had high hopes for that draft. And if what I was told is actually true and they're disenchanted with Green and Pearsall, now the 24 draft doesn't look all that great. And guess what? The 23 draft really didn't look great.
That's the worst draft.
The 22 draft was worse, probably. They did get Purdy at the very end to save it.
Saving grace, right?
But look at all those other picks.
Miss.
They had three picks in the first two rounds of the or first three rounds of the draft, and they went Drake Jackson, Ty Davis Price, Danny Gray. Yuck. The year before that was the Trey Lance draft. That thing's a tire fire. You did get D'Amador, Lenore, and Afonga late on day three, which saved it a little bit. But you know what I'm saying? It's like the last – and if you go look at 22, 23, 24 for Seattle, you're going to see that John Schneider really, really beat the brakes off of John Lynch. So I don't know. I mean, I like John Lynch. Don't get me wrong, and I'm not calling for his ouster, but – I'm also not totally enamored with these drafts, and I want to see – it has to be better. There's only one reason the 49ers are looking up at the Rams and the Seahawks, and it's because of the Rams and Seahawks have outdrafted the 49ers in 22, 23, and 24.
So, yeah, and you're talking about some of the best general managers in the game. And I would even argue the Rams draft class this year was horrible. I would take the 49ers – over the Rams draft class, but you go to subsequent years, 24, 23, yes. John Snyder, he's been crushing it. There's no doubt about that.
Where's the Niners great players? Like, if you said to me, who are the great players they've brought in recent years? I would say Brock Purdy, Upton Stout, and I'm not really sure if there is anybody
that's it
after
from the
that.
Past 4 years. Maybe yeah. Dominic Pooney. Like, maybe, I'm cool with maybe. Pooney being on there just because – He got so much better throughout the year. Cover coming to that injury was rough, but I'm going to put Pooney pretty close to that. I think that he kind of fits that narrative.
So it's just kind of like, are they at the top? No. Are they at the bottom? No. But Seattle is at the top, and Schneider has been killing it, and he is the Football Writers Association of America Executive of the Year for a reason. And last year, you got Gray Zabel and Nick Emanwori, and Zabel and Emanwori dominated against the Niners last week. So, we're going to go, embark on a exercise here where we're going to fill the Niners' biggest needs. And I'm not advocating for John Lynch to be fired or anything, but they got to do better. They just got to do better. So what we're going to do, we came up with a dozen or so, maybe a baker's dozen, 13 different areas that the Niners are going to have big decisions on. And we're going to go through them one by one and what they are: defensive coordinator, pass rushing, pass rushing, defensive tackle, edge rusher, linebacker, safety, corner, running back, wide receiver, tight end, left guard, center. And then we'll go one wild card spot where you can double down on one position, because there probably is at least one or two positions we'd like to double down on. So here we go. We're going to go into it. John's going to go into free agent options. I'm going to go into what I think is the smart draft option. And why don't we start with, since we're not going to start with a player, we'll start with a coach. Let's start with defensive coordinator. Where are you on the Gus Bradley hire? It sounds like Gus Bradley's the leader in the clubhouse. I'm fine with it. Lots of other people are saying, no, I want Schwartz. I want Raheem Morris. What say you? Are you cool with Gus Bradley, or do you hate it and want to go in a different direction?
I think it's, going with Gus Bradley is kind of like teeing off with your seven iron. and just being like, you know what? We're going for a double. That's all we want. We just want to stay in the fairway. We want to be safe. The Kyle Shanahan loyalty program is undefeated. He wants people he knows he can work with, and he checks that narrative. He's in-house. You saw them do the same thing with Sorensen. You saw him do the same thing with D'Amico. It's the way Kyle Shanahan operates. He wants people around him that are loyal to him, that he knows he can work with and vibe with, and that know the system. He knows the system, and you can debate all you want about, is it the Seattle cover three? Yeah, it's adapted, but that's what it is. Yeah, the cover six and quarters, that's kind of the change in the wide nine up front, but it's probably going to be Gus Bradley. I don't think that that's a home run hire. I don't think that's a splash hire. I think that's allowing Fred Warner and Nick Bosa to kind of pick who it is they want, which has gone bad in the past. They really wanted Sorensen, and that went absolutely horrible. Should have stayed with Wilkes, but that's a whole nother whatever. I just remember we've had one good year of defensive back play in like maybe 10 years since Shanahan's been here. That was under Steve Wilkes. Not that he was perfect, but I would like to see some quality DB play. And the biggest weakness to Gus Bradley throughout his entire tenure is not quality defensive back play. So I think it's going to be Gus Bradley. I would be willing to trade picks for Jim Schwartz. I know that's not really how it works, but I don't think Cleveland lets them out of their building. They can't even get anybody to finish their homework for a head coaching position. So like, I don't think Schwartz is leaving. So Gus Bradley is probably going to be the answer.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, I know I saw some of those numbers as well from his time with Indy and the Raiders and the Chargers, but I mean, how good were those teams? The other thing I would say is, you know, the Niner DBs to a man swear by Gus Bradley. Now, obviously, he's in-house. I mean, they're not going to – what are they going to do? Say negative things about a coach that's coaching them? But they've gone out of their way to talk about how this guy's just, you know, made them better. And he was in charge this year of the red zone defense. And the red zone defense was rated 10 spots higher than the actual defense. So, I mean, they were better in the red zone.
With spare parts.
Yeah, and they were better in the red zone than they were outside the red zone, and that was his responsibility. I don't know. I think Gus Bradley could be good. I think, you know, he's a former NFL head coach. You're only as good as your players in the NFL, and I also really believe that the Niners' issues are not about scheme. I think their issues are about talent or lack thereof. Their linebacking core used to be Aziz, Greenlaw, and Warner. And they were all in their prime. And now their linebacking corps, Wallow, Kendricks, and, you know, it's like, and these guys are just signed off the street. And it's like, they went from the best linebackers to the worst in the entire league. So I think and look at Seattle on that second level with Eman Worry and Drake Thomas and, you know, their ability to just close space. It's like crazy fast how they, in that second level. And the Niners are slow. They're slow at wide receiver. They're slow on defense at linebacker. And, to me, that's a bigger concern. But let's move to the first position. Let's go to, and I do think this is a major need. The 49ers need an interior pass rushing defensive tackle. They have no push at all up the middle, none. And it's just killing them. I love Collins and West. I think they've got potential, but I think they're more run defenders than pass rushers, though I think West has potential to be a little bit of both. And by the end of the year, you know, I asked Jordan Elliott at his locker, I'm like, hey, what'd you think of the young guys this year? And he's like, yeah, they were both very impressive. And then he actually separated them and said he felt like CJ West was the most impressive between the two, which I thought was interesting that he would even volunteer that. I wasn't pushing for that or anything, but he was like, yeah, you know, they really were good, but CJ's really special. So that's just Jordan Elliott saying that. I don't know if that's how the coaches feel, but the Niners need a pass rusher inside because West and Collins are more run stuffers, and I definitely have one in the draft. Is there one in free agency that jumps out? And well, I don't even know what the Niners are going to do in free agency. I mean, they sat it out last year, largely except for special teams. Are they going to do that again this year? Or are they going to spend some money? Lynch seemed to indicate they have a little bit more money to spend, but there's no promises there. Is there a defensive tackle pass rusher in free agency that you think could fill that need?
I think there's two available that aren't going to break the bank. You've got John Franklin Myers, who has 15 sacks combined in his last two seasons. Very similar scheme, you know, playing in Denver and kind of what they've done there. I think you can get him for kind of that $8 to $12 million per year, depending on how much you want to pay. And Logan Hall, who I remember us doing draft. Like, we loved Logan Hall, and he is not your complete defensive tackle, but he's 25 years old, and he's that penetrating, pass-rushing defensive tackle. You can get him for, like, $5 to $8 million. So the whole idea that, you know, whenever I was doing research for today's show, Larry, was, man, let's do one big-ticket item. Let's do one cost-saving, you know, younger, cheaper idea, like, mindset. But John Franklin Myers, he would be the sack leader if he was on the 49ers the last season. But Logan Hall, if you want to start C.J. West and Alfred Collins moving forward and you bring somebody in just to rush the passer, I think he's somebody you can get for relatively cheap, $5 to $8 million a year. Two great options that would be better at rushing the passer than anybody you have in the building. Everybody's betting the NFL in full do or die mode. College football down to the last teams, and the Super Bowl is just right around the corner. If there was ever a time to get involved in the game, it's now. And MyBookie makes it stupid easy to play. One account, one wallet, bet the spread, live bet the second half, hit the casino during the commercials. It's all in one place, and you've got the power. Go to mybookie.ag now and use promo code 49ers, 49ERS, and you get your first bet covered up to $500. If it doesn't hit, use your bet back bonus token, run it back. Don't just watch the playoffs, make them pay. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, Texas, California, no matter where you are, only at MyBookie. The regular season is wrapped, and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs, and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick during any of the 2026 NBA playoffs. Live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co. It's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order.
Yeah, I love that one. Logan Hall would be a fantastic, you know, value. Former first-round pick, played at Houston. Is he a two-gapper? No, but he's a one-gap penetrator, which is what the Niners system is. All right, so I love the both those. Do you have a preference between the two?
I think John Franklin Myers is borderline Pro Bowl, three down player. He's out there all the time. But if you're trying to build around CJ West and Alfred Collins, then I think you want to save some money. Logan Hall is going to cost half what John Franklin Myers is. And if you want to take a bigger gamble, you can go Levi Onwuzurike. He's a fun guy, but had some injury issues.
What'd you call me?
Yeah, exactly. I thought I did the pronunciation pretty good. I'm from Texas. Yeah. That's hard for me. That's hard for me.
Well, here's my – okay, so those are the free agent options. And I love the John Franklin Myers is more like the shopping off the top shelf. Logan Hall is a little bit more of a projection, but I like it. I think that's a good name. In fact, I'm going to jot that one down. I hadn't thought of Logan Hall because Logan Hall, you know, one, I thought he was staying in Tampa. Two, I didn't realize he was going to be hit the free agent market. So he's a free agent now. They didn't pick up his fifth year option, obviously. And so I think Logan Hall would be a really good one. I'm going to go, in the draft with this guy. I like Zane Durant. And he plays at Penn State, and he's not a big boy. I mean, this guy's about 285, you know, but here he is, and just there's movement ability here. This guy's got, to me, this is the kind of quickness that you're looking for in a defensive tackle opposite, you know, West and Collins. You're looking for somebody who can get to the quarterback, who can shoot a gap, who's got some speed. He wears 28. You can see him in this video. He's about 288, 290 in that range. He's not, you know, he's not an every down guy. He's a rusher, but he's got good movement skills.
He doesn't stay blocked, and I love his hand usage. That's what jumps out already on tape.
Yeah, I mean, I really like this guy. I think he's, you know, there are bigger, stronger defensive tackles, but if you're just looking for that guy who's going to be there in the third round, fourth round, who's got movement ability and played a lot and had production and, you know, could play in a rotation. I think Zane Durant here from Penn State would be my guy. So that's the first position. We're off and running. Let's get to the edge, because the edge rusher position is big. And, you know, Trey Hendrickson is a free agent. You know, you could go after Trey Hendrickson, but who is on your list for the Niners at defensive end or at edge in free agency potentially?
And so I want to remind everybody, because everybody brings up edge because it was so bad this year, but like, you do have Bosa returning. You do have your first round pick, Mikael Williams, returning. Bryce Huff is under contract. So is Sam O. Like, you're returning a lot. So I know everybody remembers edge being this, oh my gosh, we don't have any. Well, you're not going to miss five of your top six edge players like you did this year. I don't know. Maybe Substation will have something to say about that. That was a joke. Anyway, so I got more guys here than probably any other position, Larry. So hang with me. Odafe Owe. I know I mispronounced that one. 17 and a half sacks over the last 2 years. Speed guy only. He's going to get about $20 million. The middle grade option for a speed rusher, Joseph Osai. All-out motor. He's not your typical, you know, four-down defensive end, but back-to-back years with five sacks, like, he's that type of guy that could just come in. Cheaper Bryce Huff, if I want to be honest, and more effective Bryce. Bryce Huff was terrible the last 2 months of the season. Did literally nothing. And if you want to go super cheap at the speed edge, Arnold Ebiketie. He's got, you know, he's 26 years old. He's got 16 and a half career sacks. You can get that guy super cheap, kind of like a $5 to $7 million. Joseph Osai, $13 million around there. Always going to get about $20 million a year. So for those speed edge rushers that everybody seems to covet, you got your expensive, your middle, your cheap option. And they all awesome last names. Owe, Osai, Ebiketie. Come on, man. Like, those jerseys are going to look badass.
I love all those guys. Osai, you know, was at Texas, and he's a great physical player. He just for whatever reason, it just hasn't happened for him consistently in the pros. I'll give you one name that I really like. I think is going to be, you know, underrated, is Boye Mafe. I've always liked Mafe going back to Minnesota. He's got a great first step, great twitch, and he's a real speed rusher. And to me, it's like, what is going to make the Niners line dangerous opposite Bosa? What do you need? To me, you need a guy who's going to bend the edge. You got to have that speed guy. Why? Because then that spreads out the offensive line. And if you have a speed guy opposite Bosa, you know Bosa's going to get the edge from time to time. If that guy, you know, I mean, I don't mind guys who have counter moves and all that as well. That's great. But I got to have somebody who burns the edge, who's somebody who really makes that tackle feel like he needs to rock back in his stance a little early. I think Mafe has, you know, got caught up in a numbers game in Seattle.
His best games were against Colton McKivitz.
Yeah, I really like him. I think Mafe is one of those guys that he's twitchy and, you know, he's a speed rusher. I mean, he may not have great strength, but in a wide nine, I think he could be really scary. So that's the guy that I kind of like free agency wise. I'll share the screen on my on the draft front. Now there's a bunch of guys, right? There's a bunch of guys in this draft, and there's they come in all shapes and sizes. One guy that I'm kind of intrigued by is this guy right here. I'm going to show him to you, Malachi Lawrence. I think he's probably
UCF.
Yeah, this is probably the All-Star game going on right now. This is probably the East-West Shrine practice, or maybe the...
Yeah, it looks like the Star. Yeah, I think they're in the Star.
Yeah, so here he is, Central Florida, and he's got great twitch. And he actually's got pretty decent leverage on this guy here. He, you know, waltzes the tackle back in there. But I like this guy. I mean, this guy's 6'4", 6'5", 260, looks the part coming off the bus. He's electric around the edge. He's also got some hand usage.
He's built like a sprinter. He's got that straight hip. You know what I'm talking about? Where, like, I'm telling you, that is a streamlined sprint build. That guy's got a track background. I'd bet money on it.
Yeah, I mean, he's 260. There are other guys that I really like, but I think this guy, when you watch his college film, that we're just watching this one rep, but if you watch his college film, he comes flying off the edge. I mean, absolutely flying. So Malachi Lawrence, Central Florida, is a guy that I would look to in the draft. Let's move to linebacker. Linebacker is a spot where they're decimated. They have Fred Warner. They have Tatum Bethune. Nick Martin's been in the concussion protocol. We don't know about his future. Everybody else is old or a special teamer. I mean, this is a major, major need, I think. Who is a linebacker that you like in free agency, Jeff?
Well, one of the things that's kind of cool about this linebacker free agency class, you can get youth and experience. I'm tired of watching D. Winters got on my nerves from a coaching perspective just because he had such dirty eyes and was always in the wrong place.
He also gets let's be honest about D. Winters. He's small and he gets engulfed in the run game. And he's, you know, when he was totally fresh in training camp and running around, yeah, he can make some plays, but he gets so engulfed in the run game that
disappears.
He's not a second contract guy.
No, not at all. But I hope he is for somebody. I hope something changes, whatever. But I've got three options at linebacker. Quincy Williams, he's 29 years old, a little bit longer in the tooth, but he's got an all-pro, familiar with this game. He was coached under Saleh. And linebacker is one of the most like devalued positions in the NFL now. He's probably top of the class and going to get paid the most. You can get him for $8 to $11 million a year. That's cheap. Devin Bush, 27, hyper-athletic, more athletic than D. Winters with a lot of experience. You're talking $8 million a year. Leo Chenal, who, again, great coverage, kind of three-down backer that can do it all, not great at anything, better cover guy than he is, like, playing downhill, but solid. I would take him over anybody on our roster that's a, you know, linebacker that's not named Fred Warner. You can get him $5, $6 million a year. So there are options where you can get in. Leo Chenal's 25, Devin Bush 27, Quincy Williams 29. Get these guys on a two-year deal. Hey, come play next to Fred Warner. Who doesn't want to play next to Fred Warner? You could be the guy.
Who is your favorite of those linebackers that you just went through? Do you have a favorite of them?
Quincy Williams is the best and most consistent and has the most experience in this scheme. So I would take Quincy Williams and just, man, put him next to Fred Warner. You've got two all-pro linebackers that have experience in this scheme, and it's cheap. You get that dude for $9 million a year probably. That would be pretty badass. Like, that would solidify the middle of this defense. You allow Nick Martin to come into his own as the Sam guy who could eventually replace, but it's going to take time. And that's just kind of the way it goes. So I like Quincy Williams a lot, and it's not going to cost a lot of money.
Those are good names. And Quincy Williams is Quinnen Williams' brother. So you wonder if the Cowboys will go after him as well. Okay, for linebacker, you know, there's a bunch of them that I really love on day three. I mean, there's some day three guys. Mackie.
Is there anything better than watching linebacker draft tape? I freaking love it, man.
It's the best. Go watch Mack Harris and they got two guys from South Florida. South Florida's got a couple linebackers that can run and hit. One of them's named Mack Harris. The other guy's name is Jalen Schuler, I think, something like that. But the two of them, both of these guys can really, really run. But one of the guys that I've liked in the process for a while, and, you know, I watched him a ton, at LSU. LSU gets some great players. I mean, LSU gets some of the most fantastic players. This guy's a five-star, Harold Perkins. Now here he is at the East-West Shrine practices. And guys like, yeah, Harold Perkins was causing all kinds of fits and run defense and pass pro drills on his first day at the Shrine practice. He's so strong pound for pound, someone that has experience off the edge, then started playing off the ball. He plays with very good physicality. Here he is with the yellow helmet, number 7, five-star, great athlete. I mean, this guy played kind of that hybrid safety linebacker spot.
Ooh, I like that dip shoulder move in the open field. Really, giving the blocker really a small target, consistent. You talked about what you didn't like about D Winners, and you can see in these first drills, it's the antithesis of that.
Well, what I love about Perkins is just he's in a field full of athletes. You know, I went to LSU, Florida. This guy stands out. And this guy stands out as an athlete on a field full of athletes. He's still got work to do. He needs polishing. Otherwise, if this kid were fully polished, he's a mid first round pick because he's a tremendous athlete, but he's not polished. He's going to need Johnny Holland to coach him up, right? He's played kind of these hybrid positions. He's, you know, at times they've used him as an edge rusher because he's a greatest best athlete on the field. At times they're using him like a DB because he's got that movement ability and coverage ability. But what he really is a great weak side linebacker. And this guy could start opposite Fred Warner on day one and I think really be good.
You know he's wearing number 7 for LSU. Yeah. Like that, they give that to the game changer, the number one game changer on their team.
Right. The star.
That's who wears number 7. And so that tells a story.
Yeah. And that's the truth for a few schools. There's a few schools that have like a certain number. If you wear, is it LSU also is like 15 or something like
11
that?
11 and 7 are their big ones.
11
yeah.
and 7.
And maybe I'm.
We got this one from Authentically himself. Yes, Larry, Harold Perkins is a player the Niners need. The Seahawks want to go positionless. We have to match it. Yes, that's exactly what I'm thinking. The future of NFL defenders, especially on the second level, is you got to have speed. You got to have movement ability. You know, I'd be looking at every guy like that. I'll give you another sleeper free agent since you were talking about free agents. Now, I know you're going to laugh at this one because this guy's been around the block and he's kind of been considered a bust. But I really think the way the NFL is going, that this guy gets more and more value as time goes on, and that's Isaiah Simmons. And Isaiah Simmons was a very good special teamer for whoever he played for this year.
Yeah, he had that one huge fumble recovery just, I think, in the divisional round. Or yeah, maybe it was wild card.
Who's he playing for?
Isaiah Simmons, he's played for every. What team was
he's
he on?
Played for Buffalo? Everybody. But this guy was awesome at Clemson. But they didn't know how to use him and this and that. And then there's all kinds of, you know, he's a special teamer, but he's like a sub package player, and he just is so big and fast.
He's on the Panthers.
Panthers, yeah, and he played well. I mean, he played really well on special teams. And if you're looking for that difference making athlete who can play coverage, you know, he might not be a bad guy to invest in free agency either, because I think he'd be really cheap. All right, let's get to safety. Who do you like at safety?
And by the way,
we'll get to some of these supers because I, you know, some of these names that some of you guys, somebody just threw out this one.
I love it.
Jacob Rodriguez of Texas Tech. He's kind of like Fred Warner. He will punch that ball out. Jacob Rodriguez is great with the peanut punch. But who's your safety, John? Who's a safety that you like in free agency?
There's one that's just clear, but everybody's going to go after him. That's Brian Cook. He's 26 years old, speed guy out of Cincinnati. You know, that's where he played his college ball. He's that single high, just always do the damn job. He's going to be the big ticket safety because he's young. So, like, you sign him up now, you're getting him from 26 to 40 years old or 30 years old on a 4-year deal. You got to get speed. You're the slowest team in the NFL. You have the slowest safeties in the NFL. Pair him up. Let Malik Mustafa go to where he's supposed to be. And then you have your three safety tandem with, you know, Marquise Siegel, who's up and down. Definitely didn't have a good game in the playoffs. Probably should have got more snaps during the season. But that would be incredible. You would for sure shore up that back end, allow that to happen. And then if you can't spend that much, go Jaquan Brisker. You know, he's a big reason why Jair Brown got drafted out of Penn State. You go back and you watch any of Jair Brown's best tape, you're going to see Jaquan Brisker shoring up the back end and got his buddy drafted. We know Jair Brown's not the answer, but Jaquan Brisker is a 4-4 guy, not elite speed like Brian Cook, but still 4-4 is going to work. You can get him $8 million a year. I would love that. You get him on that team, put him with Malik Mustafa. The safety position has been so bad recently, and you got to go all the way back to Steve Wilks since last time you had quality safety play.
No question. I think they need a player here for sure. Let me give you the guy that I kind of like as far as free agents. You know, this is a kind of an underrated guy, but I like Nick Cross.
Yep.
from the Colts. And here he is. He leads the league in tackles as a box safety in their cover three scheme, but he makes plays in coverage as well. Here he is making plays. He was Maryland guy. I just think that
ran a 4.34. So the speed checks.
Yeah. There's major speed there, major speed. He can cover. I mean, to me, this is an all around player, who can do it all. He can play in the box. He can cover. He can do a little bit of everything. So but I like your guys. I like the names that you threw out there. Let me throw out a draft guy that I really like. And this guy, you know, to me, there's every year there's like a program or two that just keeps getting just amazing athletes. And to me, that program is South Carolina. Look at Nicky Manwari. I mean, Nicky Manwari is a crazy athlete. This program, South Carolina, is one of the most impressive programs in the country as far as, you know, getting big time athletes that make plays. You know, these guys show up on the freaks list, and I'm going to show you one of my favorite guys in this draft is a
Jalen Kilgore.
Is Jalen Kilgore from South Carolina. And here he is. Here's a 15 second clip of Kilgore. And, you know, he's 220 pounds. He's physical enough to be a linebacker, but this is kind of like an Emanwari. And it's like, I don't know what this guy's going to work out like exactly, but, you know, on film, you see a guy who's strong enough to play in the box and fast enough to play down the field. And here he is down the field. He backpedals off the hash. Here we go. And he got a nice little
got
hand
that length,
on that.
Man.
He wears 24. He's a great athlete. He's a leader. You know, I saw some other footage in the last week where basically, you know, some of their coaches were like, you know, we go as Jalen goes and guys follow him. And, I mean, you're talking about a big-bodied guy. You're talking about a 6'2", 220-pound safety who's making coverage plays down the field there. I mean, that's 25, 30 yards down the field for a 220-pound safety. So there's coverage ability there, but then there's also ability to knock the crap out of you in the box. And to me, Kilgore is a plug-and-play starting safety who could wind up being one of the best players on their team.
Hey, really could play that big nickel, could play safety, both safety spots, so you got some position versatility there. I love that. And getting those guys that are kind of first off the bus top type guys that look the part, Niners could use some more of that. They really, really could.
Let's go corner. Who do you like at corner? Well, last position on defense before we flip it to the offense and hit a couple of these supers. What do you think? Who's the corner that you get your eye on in free agency?
And if I could say, like, I think corner, I think you need multiple corners. Like, I would like two corners. Yeah. I'm Renardo Green, Kyle Shanahan can't stand the dude. You need corner depth. It's been an issue. Nashawn Wright, he's going to be the biggest, you know, ticket item in free agency. Had a 5-year interception year, 27 years old. He's going to go for about $13 to $15 million per year. But Cam Taylor Britt out of Nebraska, the Niners met with this dude like 6 times in the draft, and he went right off the board right before they picked. 26 years old. Plays all the spots. You know, he has that versatility where he can play nickel outside. Cam Taylor Britt. And then if you want to go a little bit cheaper, Cardale Flott, 24 years old, feisty, smaller corner, but feisty. Can play outside, inside. I think get him for about $8 million a year. So that's 3. You want to spend big, Nashawn Wright. Cam Taylor Britt, perfect fit. He starts day 1 opposite D'Amador Lenore, Upton Stout. Now you have a solid cornerback core. It's been a long time. It's been a long time since you could say that for the Niners.
You know, I'm with you as far as multiple corners. I mean, this is a passing league, and when you run out of corners, you're done. You know, you're really done.
Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community, and all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the Tick Pick app or tickpick.com. Just search 49ers Rush.
My favorite guy in the draft is a guy with a very forgettable name, but a very memorable game. And that is Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson, the corner for San Diego State. This year, this is what this kid did. 0 touchdowns allowed, 4 interceptions, 5 PBUs, a 16.1 passer rating allowed when targeted. 16.1. 92.8 PFF coverage grade. Tremendous player. PFF College Football All-America team member. One of the top graded corners in the country across the board. The guy's an elite special teamer and a gunner. He's super physical. He missed 3 tackles all season. He's got a career 5% missed tackle rate. This guy is something else. He's really, really good. I'm going to show you a quick clip of him. Chris Johnson from San Diego State. And I would take this guy in the late first round. I really like this guy. This is a 6-foot corner who can do it all. He can hit. He can run. He can play coverage. He can play bump and run. There he is down the field. He's very physical. He can play special teams. He's got good ball skills. He's a leader.
That's great out of phase technique right there. Yeah. Kind of gave up a little bit, but he plays with a lot of confidence and trusts his speed.
Yeah. Oof. He's got good size. He plays bigger. If you see the guy, you'd say, hey, man, this guy's big. But he's only 6 feet, 195. But, you know, I mean, that's a little on the bigger side for a corner, but it's not huge. And we see 6'3", 6'4", corners. You know, the one free agent that I could definitely see them going for if they do go with Gus Bradley is Tariq Woolen. Just because Bradley is really known as a guy who wants the big bodied corner. And, you know, I just think he'd love Tariq Woolen. I know Woolen has had an up and down career. He had a pretty good year this year, at least set in the second half of the year. And I could see Woolen being a free agent target of the Niners as well. But Chris Johnson, yeah. For late first round pick, it's not gonna be it's not a sexy pick. I mean, it's a corner who's a solid corner, just a really, really solid corner. All right, let's hit some supers, and then we'll jump to the offense and get out of here. We got Gravy says, any free agent O-lineman the Niners can sign to start, first priority in free agency. We'll talk about that coming up here. Big tones. And speaking of Rogan, Paramount Plus, no more pay-per-view prices. Okay. Viagra specialist, if we go for Addison, when could we see that? Grant Cohn said the Niners have interest in Jordan Addison. I think it could be soon.
It's a perfect fit. And off the field stuff is terrible, but it's a perfect scheme fit.
I mean, what'd he do off the field? He's had three arrests, which is obviously too many in 3 years, but one of them's for speeding. One of them's for DUI. I don't think there's anything. There's no like domestic violence or anything like that in there. But
You've got a DeMarcus Robinson has that exact same track record as well. So it's not like they haven't gone after players with that before. The decision making process off the field in question, but perfect scheme fit.
Buddy Boy says Lynch needs to be just the president of football ops. They need a GM that is a true talent evaluator. This would be my take thrown back at me. Crush early rounds where they usually miss. I've been saying this for the last week. It's like I love Lynch, but I really think that if they had like a great personnel evaluator and he was more of like the president, that maybe they'd be even better. I don't know if I like the let's have a million cooks in the kitchen and the analytics people and the coaches. And I don't know if I like that. I kind of like the scheme of like, hey, dude, it's your responsibility. Who are you taking? Get somebody who's great in there. I think John's great at getting a bunch of different voices together. But I think the reason the Niners have had this inconsistency in the draft is because they do have so many voices that they listen to. And when you're building a consensus like that, you're going to hit and miss.
You watch the Eagles, you know, they did their, and I hate the Eagles, but the one thing that I think they have the best general manager in NFL history right now. And you see them and they're doing their draft video because they release like certain, you know, clips. The coaches have their feet up, no shoes on. They're shrugging their shoulders because they have no say. Like it is the general managers making these decisions. The coaches will get the best out of them. That is the best process, but you've got to have the elite GM to have that. I'm not sure the 49ers are in that position.
Yeah, no, seriously. Tua Man the Great. If Kyle is the de facto GM, Jed needs to strip him of that power. It feels like Kyle is micromanaging too much.
And that's why Kyle is the head coach of the 49ers, because whenever he came in, he said, I want all these things. Jed said, okay. And that's how you design. I mean, he hired John Lynch. He hired everybody. And
but it can evolve. It could evolve. I mean, John Schneider was hired by Pete Carroll, and John Schneider's still there, and Pete Carroll's not there. And so it can evolve. And I'm not saying that I would strip Kyle of that, but I think I would try to convince Kyle that, you know what, let's see if we can get somebody in there who can really hit for us, you know. Yep. And, you know, you're good at it, but the reality is that it's January 24th, and most of the Niners coaches are just now peeking at these prospects for the first time, and the scouts have been looking at them for months. And I don't think you just throw that all away by making your coaching staff front and center. D. Martinez, how much better would this team be if we went Zach Frazier instead of Pearsall? How much did we miss Hufanga?
Yeah, you'd have a huge run game. Your run game would be incredible if you got Zach Frazier instead of Pearsall. Pearsall wouldn't have missed. He just can't stay healthy. But Zach Frazier would have been a better pick, and it's not even close. That was my draft take. I would have traded back and got him, but even if you got him in the first round.
You know, here's the thing about that. If I didn't say it on draft day, I wouldn't say it now, but I did say it on draft day. I said Pearsall will be good if he's durable. If he's not durable, he's not going to be good. And he hasn't been durable, and he hasn't been good. I mean, he's been good for four games, but, you know, having a player on your team for four games that you can't have the rest of the year, you know, that hurts you.
You play 46 snaps in a playoff game with zero catches. That's an issue as a wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, what would you say you do here? SF Niners, John got to tell Kyle to calm down at practice and stop killing our players. Tart said the Eagles were way better in S&C. Look at their injury history. What's S&C?
Strength and conditioning.
I will say this. I did an interview with Saran Neal, and I asked him about, you know, how he's feeling late in the year. I said, how you feeling, man? You guys have been banging heads since July. And he's like, hey, man, here, we go hard here. We go hard here. I mean, and this is a guy who's played on other teams. So the way he said that, it was like, he was almost like him saying, we go harder here. than I went in other spots.
Everybody says Kyle practices harder. John Feliciano said the same thing. Tart said it. Everybody says that.
I would say if you said to me what's the most likely, it's probably that.
Yep.
That more than the electrical substation. Sorry, Rogan. Tommy Huxley. Not sure why Sala was hired. Couldn't stop a nosebleed.
Sala's awesome, man. But not perfect. Not perfect, though. And, yeah, he got there were about 3 to 4 games where he got out-schemed like a madman, and it wasn't even close. And
but, I mean, look at what he had on that front seven. I was looking at their front seven in the upper deck or in the press box in the Philly game, and I'm looking at this. I'm like, Kendricks, Wallow, and I'm like, Kalia and Sam O. And it's like, you know, like sitting there going, where's the guys? Where's the guys that you used to have? You know, there's their front seven at the end of the year was a mash unit. And I think anything they got out of it positive, you got to credit Sala. Tommy Huxley says, not sure why Sala was hired. Couldn't stop a nosebleed. We've got that one. Dustin Bailey. Yeah, I'm here a little late. So if I missed wide receiver, sorry. But I think the 49ers need to go get Dante Thornton from Junior from the Raiders. This kid will be special. He can definitely run 4.30. I don't think
the Raiders are going to be getting rid of him, though. He's a sophomore player that started half their season, and they are void of talent.
Unless they don't want Fernando Mendoza, and we did see Tom Brady talking to Mac Jones, you know, on the field before the game against Seattle, and he is the decision maker in Vegas. If he wants Mac Jones, then there will be some kind of a trade, and Dante Thornton and a pick probably would be a fair compensation, but I'm with John. I don't necessarily see them. I think they're going to go Mendoza. I really do. Thomas Selman. I like Zachary Branch out of Georgia. He can fly. He can absolutely fly. He's 5'10", but he can fly. Dale says, Larry, we are in a rebuild, aren't we? Doesn't that mean our window is closed, but let's stop pretending? I mean, these window conversations, I think, are kind of bullshit. Why? Because I'm in the room. I talk to the players. Not once do they say, you know what? I'm not going as hard this year. Why? Because we're not in our window. You know, I mean, it's like it's a media conversation. It's a talk show conversation. It's not a players conversation. The players are going to give it everything they got every year, no matter what. And they don't really think of it as windows. They really don't. I mean, maybe they do, and I'm wrong, but I don't think so.
No, I've been a part of coaching. I've been a part of playing. That's not existent. And especially not rebuilding when you have guys like Trent, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa. That's not Brock Purdy, Kyle Shanahan's your coach. No, it's not a rebuild by any stretch of the imagination.
To a man, the great, says Jacob Rodriguez from Texas Tech. Yes, we said that before. He is a tremendous, productive inside linebacker. I got to see the workout numbers, though, because I got to see if he can run. Costco Hot Dog says, thanks for the happy B-Day message, Larry. My sister hooked me up with that. Made my year so far. Thank you for all you and Kevin do. Oh, man, thank you, man. I appreciate that. Awesome.
Happy belated birthday, Costco Hot Dog. You make so many people happy.
Yeah, seriously. Happy birthday, Costco Hot Dog. Dale says, trade for Buda Baker? What's needed to move Bosa?
Ooh. I would say Buda Baker would be awesome. He chose money over, you know, competing by staying in Arizona, and that's never going to change. But, yeah, what's needed to move Bosa? Now you're in the value part of his contract. Now he's a value play. And I don't think you redo that deal off of so like if you were ever like against the Bosa deal, he's like the 9th paid edge now. Like you are, this is the value portion. So if you traded Bosa now, you kind of screwing yourself because this is the sweet spot of that contract that you are now in for the next 2 years. So I don't know. I'm against trading Bosa personally. You need a good edge. You've seen how good this team is when he plays. The injuries are a problem. We've been talking about that all episode. But, yeah, now you're in the sweet spot in my own personal opinion.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to move Bosa. But, I mean, what would I need? I'd need a first-round pick. Not a hype first-round pick, but maybe a late first-round pick. All right, let's go running back. Let's jump to the offense. We don't have as many needs on offense, but let's hit some offense. offense, running back. They have CMC. CMC, though, made it perfectly clear that, you know, if the Niners want to bring in another running back, he's all for it. I know the word is that he wants every carry, and we know that he gets every carry. Shanahan loves him. He's the favorite toy. But they need another back. They need another back. I mean, I like Jordan James, what I saw, but you know what? I don't believe in Jordan James.
Can't rely on that.
I don't believe in a guy who played, you know, four snaps in camp and then didn't play until January. And then it's like, what, now we're going to bank on him as some foundation piece guy that can be leaned on. I'm not ready to lean on a guy who couldn't be leaned on this year at all. So, and Garendo's a sideshow joke. He's terrible. Brian Robinson's a free agent. They're going to let him walk away. Is there a free agent back that you like?
I want somebody that's a full three down back. So that if CMC does get injured, which, hey, after leading the NFL in carries, he's done it twice before, didn't play more than four games the following season, you kind of have to prepare for that. Rashad White and Travis Etienne, these are two guys that I think you don't have to change your offense if CMC is out. Neither one of them are CMC, but both of them are pass-catching running backs that are young, both 27 years old, which isn't too young for running backs, but neither are going to break the bank. You can get Rashad White for probably $6-7 million a year and get Etienne for probably $5-6 million a year. Not going to break your bank, but if and when CMC does miss time, you can still get those checkdowns. You can still run the Texas option routes out of the backfield. And they both have substantially more speed at this point in their career than Christian McCaffrey does as well. So those are two kind of full down backs that I would like. If you get anything out of Jordan James, great. But you can't rely on that. You just can't, like you said, Larry.
Who's your favorite of the free agent backs of the guys?
Oh, Breece Hall is the best, but like you can't pay that. And why would Breece Hall come here? Because you're going to get five carries a game. Like, why would Breece Hall want to sign in the same place as Christian McCaffrey, seeing Kyle Shanahan will never take him off the field? Breece Hall would be the answer, but no, Breece Hall is going to go somewhere. Rico Dowdle is going to go somewhere. These guys are going to go somewhere where they're the guy. Everybody understands if I go to San Francisco, I'm going to be the number two at best. And so that's why I like the Rashad White, Travis Etienne, a little more realistic options, I think, in my opinion. I could be wrong. Breece Hall would be fun, but he ain't going to play over Christian McCaffrey.
Well, you know, running back is an interesting spot. There's some really good ones. One of the guys that I love in the draft is a guy named Mike Washington Jr., who plays at Arkansas, but he does fumble. He's got 10 career fumbles, and that's kind of a bugaboo for Shanahan. So I'll go away from him. Two guys who I really like, I'm going to share the screen. There's a guy named Kajon Owens who played for Florida International, and this guy is really good. Here he is, and I'm not sure if this clip does him justice or not, but here he is. This is an ESPN game, FIU against Texas San Antonio. He's the running back right here next to the quarterback, and he's got great talent. A little pick and slide there. He got through, kind of working to the next level. That's not the most impressive highlight, but I really like this kid. He's strong. He's fast. He's productive as hell. If you go look at his game log, the game log is off the charts. He just
a little bowling ball.
Yeah, small guy. The other guy that I really like as well is a Georgia Tech running back named Jamal Haynes. And Haynes is also 5'9", 195, but really got a lot of scoot to him. These are day three backs that you can get, you know, maybe even after the draft. You know, we're not even talking about draft picks. We might be talking about, you know, undrafted free agents, but I love those two guys, Kajon Owens, FIU, and Jamal Haynes, Georgia Tech. Big fan of Mike Washington, but the fumbles, that is kind of a deal breaker. I mean, 10 fumbles, you know, that there are very few deal breakers for Kyle Shanahan, but that's one of them. All right, let's go to wide receiver. Who's your wide receiver? And this is a major need for the 49ers. This is, you know, they may need two guys here. I kind of like Wandale Robinson and from Kentucky, who played with the Giants. I think he's even better than he's ever shown with the Giants. I like Romeo Doubs. You know, those are a couple of the receivers. Obviously, Alec Pierce would be great. A lot of people are saying Alec Pierce. But go ahead, John. Who's your free agent wide receiver that you want to invest in?
you got to get an X. You got to get an X that can stretch the field vertically. Juwan Jennings, what he did is incredible. He's playing above his pay grade at position. He can't get separation. He's the slowest X wide receiver in the NFL. He needs to go back to his kind of number two, number three role. Alec Pierce, there's not much. Wide receivers don't become available very often. Now, you want to pay $20 million for that speed player. He's physical. He can run the full route tree, over the top speed, a big target, great hands, consistent. I don't know if they want to pay that. You brought up Romeo Doubs. He's a true X, and routes are great. Hands are great. Little immaturity issues. Hopefully that was fixed in Green Bay. I don't know, but he's 25 years old. And so you're going to get out of him what you pay. Rashid Shaheed would be awesome, but he's that Z role. You're kind of banking on the Pearsall thing. Like, do you want two Z wide receivers? Now, he is a vertical threat, but I don't think he's your true X that can play against press man and all that stuff. The gadget guy, all that, that's fun. George Pickens, I don't even think is in the conversation, even though that'd be awesome because the downfield threat, but he's crazy. And he's going to be expensive as hell. So, like, this is where you're kind of stuck because you should be drafting the next wide receiver. And that should be at the top of the priority list, in my opinion, on this team. But Shanahan doesn't trust rookie wide receivers. So your biggest need is X speed wide receiver. And unless they're a first round pick, is Shanahan even going to let him play? This is why I want to pay in the free. I want them to go after Alec Pierce. I want them to go after Romeo Doubs. I want to see what that looks. I do not want to go after Juwan Jennings. I really, really don't. If he wants to play here for $10 million, great, but I don't think he does, and I think he'll get paid. But this is the issue with the 49ers offense. It's center and it's wide receiver. You have no vertical threat, and you don't have a run-blocking center, and that's killed the run game.
It's a big draft for the X wide receiver. I mean, there's a lot of guys. Big dudes. There's a lot of guys. Carnell Tate. You know, Denzel Boston, Chris Bell from Louisville. There's a lot of good ones. I'm telling you, though, there's a guy this year, and I generally don't like the small school receivers, even though, you know, I mean, Jerry Rice, right? Mississippi Valley State. I mean, my God, Jerry Rice. But there is a guy this year named Ted Hurst from Georgia State who I really, really like. And I don't, have you seen this kid at all?
I love those uniforms. The Georgia Tech, Georgia State.
Here he is. And, you know, this is a, you know, small school guy. He transferred from Division II Valdosta State, but he's got the size at 6'3" and he's got movement ability and he's got production. And here he is on the boundary up top there with the arrow pointing at him. And watch this guy, Ted Hurst. Georgia State. All right. And look at this. I mean, if he's even, he's leaving. Goodbye. I mean, okay. He got caught up there. Here he is inside, in motion, across the formation, bottom of the screen, little play action, little quick hitter. He's big, though. He's big. He's got big hands. He's got good speed.
He's got a stride, man. He is a strider.
This guy, I mean, there's a couple clips here. I'm not sure if I have the right one, but there's a couple where this guy just runs away.
Yeah, I haven't watched tape of him. So like, I understand that, but the stride looks like Larry Fitzgerald, right? Like that perfect arm swing. It's that track, you know, elbow, like that's freaking all as a former track coach. I'm loving that. I've not watched tape on this kid, but,
there's a lot to like, Now he's a small school kid and there's always going to be, you know, but there's a little back shoulder. You know, he's got some strength after the catch.
And he's kind of a third, fourth, fifth round target, right? A little bit later guy.
This is probably going to be, you know, a super aggressive GM may take him at the end of the third round, but I think he's probably a mid fourth round pick. Ted Hurst. And you know, you see a lot of small school guys, but they don't necessarily, you know, they either have some kind of flaw. This guy's got some ability. He can make plays in the middle of the field. He's strong. He's big. He's got some speed. I don't know. I see a lot of small school receivers that I don't like. Look at the strength there, carrying everybody into the end zone. This is a nice little clip right here. Watch him little out. Then he kind of gives that guy a little move. So, I mean, once again, it's Georgia State. So you have to remember the competition. But here he is. He's going right by, you know, makes the catch. Pretty good player. Pretty good player. Ted Hurst from Georgia State. So that's the receiver that, to me, I'm going to be noticing and watching. Now, if I could get Carnell Tate, I'd be all over it. But, I mean, he's going to go in the top 10. You know, the Niners, there's some really good receivers in this draft, but they're all going to go in the top, 15, 20 picks. And the Niners can't go receiver in the first round. They can't. They absolutely cannot. So they have to go with a lineman. They got to go with an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman or a linebacker. They got to go with somebody that's not a receiver. Here he is in a bunch. Look at this. This is a nice little play too. Right in the middle of the field. Look at the speed. I mean, he's gone. He's opening up space. So there you go. Remember that name, Ted Hurst. Here he is on the outside. This is actually a pretty good clip here at the end of it. Little in cutter. And then here he is. This is the fade on the goal line. Little back. Yeah. I mean, went up in a crowd. He's got strong hands. He'll pluck it with his hands. Some guys are body catchers at the small school level, not this guy. And then the fact that he's wearing number one kind of also tells me, he's probably pretty good. He's probably pretty good.
I like the number scouting. I do it too, man.
All right, so there you go. Tight end. Let's go quickly to tight end. Is there a free agent? I actually think the tight end might be the spot where they absolutely hit in free agency because I like Isaiah Likely and I really love Kyle Pitts. I don't know. It's a big expenditure. If you go after a guy like Kyle Pitts or Likely, that's probably going to be your big free agent signing. I kind of like the way Green Bay goes about free agency. Sit it out, except for go get a couple difference makers. A couple years ago, they got Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs. I think that's how I'd like to see the Niners play free agency. Not in volume, but like for a couple difference makers.
My problem is this. Like, you have not gotten one snap of George Kittle and Jake Tonjes out there. You have these two elite receiving options. Like, I think we could say that about Tonjes now, right? Like, when he's out there, that dude... But, like, you never saw it. And you even heard Kubiak get up there like, yeah, we don't really do that. So I'm like, why spend on Kyle Pitts? If, like, dude, you already have a Kyle Pitts at home. Like, I understand Jake Tonjes is not Kyle Pitts. But, dude, in this offense, he's a wide receiving freaking threat. They just won't do it. Shanahan will not get out of his own whatever. We got to have Luke Farrell out there. So I want a tight end, if you're going to pay, that can do everything, that can block. So I would rather have, like, a Cade Otton, a Foster Moreau, these tight ends that will do the dirty work that can catch. But, like, again, these are blocking tight ends, do-it-all tight ends that help the run game. Because I don't trust Kyle or Kubiak to put two receiving threat tight ends out there and use them. Because you saw what Jake Tonjes could do, and then you sat his ass on the bench for 6 weeks straight and didn't even allow him to get a snap on offense. Like, so I don't know. Are they going to change their offense? Kyle doesn't do that. Kyle Pitts would be fun to have next to Kittle, and is Kittle going to be out for the first half of the season? Well, we already got the Kittle replacement. Jake Tonjes got to play more, and if you're going to pay, I want him to pay for somebody that can actually block. Farrell wasn't awful, but he sure as hell wasn't good.
No, God, I mean, to me, Farrell was a bust. You signed him as a blocking tight end. He couldn't block.
Yeah.
He had penalties. He had drops. I mean, he's got no ball skills at all. He's just, go find another backup offense. I mean, you have backup offensive tackles, and maybe next year you'll have a few more backup offense. Use them as blocking tight ends. Don't use a roster spot on Luke Farrell.
But, like, do you – I agree with you, and you're right. But, like, do you honestly think Kyle Shanahan will put two receiving threat tight ends out there and use them at the same time? Because we've never seen him do it.
Well, ever. He should. I mean, my God. I mean, the fact that he didn't do it this year is criminal. I mean, you had nothing. You had nothing going.
You got to get Malik Turner those snaps out there, man.
Right, Malik Turner is running around out there. Dude, go with your 12 personnel. Go with, two tight ends and put two receivers out there and put some pressure on opposing defenses, especially since Tonjes is a well above average receiver. Okay, so my guy in the draft is I like Russell Maryland's kid. Have you seen Russell Maryland's kid who plays at SMU?
Mm-mm,
his name's
no.
RJ Maryland. And here he is. Here's a highlight of him on a go route against Nevada in the slot. And, you know, this guy's a movement tight end. He's a down-the-field player. 6'4", 240, 245. He's a receiver. But he's a really good receiver, like a really good receiver. And he can make lots and lots of catches. And I think this is a guy with NFL pedigree. His daddy was, you know, Russell Maryland was a great player for the Cowboys and played in the league 10 years, first pick overall in the draft, whatever it was, 15, 20 years ago, whatever it was, of the Cowboys out of, you know, he played, dad played for the Canes. His son, obviously, his dad played for the Cowboys, so he grew up in the Texas area, and his son's going to SMU, which is staying home. And R.J. Maryland is a really, really good receiving tight end with you know, down-the-field playmaking ability. And I just looked at what the Rams did this year with Davis Allen and Ferguson and Colby Parkinson. And I just think that if there's one area the 49ers need to change up, it's tight end. You don't have Kittle, and you can't bank on him. You do have Tonjes. Braden Willis, Farrell, But if you can go get a couple more, you know, receiving options, guys that are, you know, strong enough to be, you know, to block if you need them, but really they're more receivers, and get those guys out there and move the pocket, I think, you know, that could be a staple of the offense. I think you're going to see, and it's a copycat league. The Rams have gone to more tight ends. We've seen Seattle go to more tight ends.
I wish the Niners would.
The Niners, I you know, Purdy loves throwing to tight ends. He threw to Charlie Kohler a ton at Iowa State. I just think that if you had another really big-time receiving tight end, that would be great. And R.J. Maryland, SMU, probably going to be a day three pick. All right, the next one is left guard.
Oh,
who's your left guard?
So, like, this one's, like, how brave do you want to be? Elijah Vera Tucker is, like, the ideal perfect guard player in this scheme. Like, perfect. First-round talent. Unbelievable. Played 15 games last year, but he's been injured the 2 years before. So, I know a lot of people are like, injuries were out after Bidbarch and whatever else. But, like, Elijah Vera Tucker, if you sign him and he stays healthy, big if, you're talking all-pro left guard. Like, that is the level at which he has played. That's 10 to 12 million. 49ers don't usually spend at that position. So if you want to go a little cheaper, Dylan Parham, not the best, but plays all three interior spots. Wow. You can get him for like 7 to 8 million, but like he's got a little bit of bad tape, but he's got some experience. Tevin Jenkins would be perfect. You know, he played at Oklahoma State. He's that Spencer Burford clone that can play right tackle, left guard, right guard. He can play everything. A great movement type guy. But man, if you want the home run, and it's a big if because of the injuries and all that stuff, if Elijah Vera Tucker could stay healthy, you're talking about an all-pro lineman next to freaking Trent Williams. That could it could be a game changer. Yeah, you could turn into one of the better offensive lines in the NFL if you spin there.
I like Dylan Parham. I mean, he's really tough, really tough. My college guy is Keelan Rutledge from Georgia Tech. There was a quote from him in the Draft Network website or Twitter account. He says, I'm a damn football player at the end of the day, a mauler. He says, I'm always going to finish and put dudes in the dirt. Okay. Look at the highlights of this kid. This is a really interesting guard prospect. He wears number 77. He plays right guard for G-Tech. Here he is down here in this highlight. We're going to show it to you. Lot to like about this kid, 77 right here.
Man, moves, guys.
Ability and just tough.
Niners don't have a lot of that. The move to move guys against their will.
This guy's super tough. He's a plug and play starter. I think you could start this guy right away. I think Rutledge could come in. He played at a high level in the ACC. He's a brawler. He's tough. Look at the wide base there. Look at the hand fighting.
Get some good tape against Georgia. That's always a positive.
Yeah, exactly. Look at the wide base, though. And this guy's just – this football means a lot to this guy. I've seen him interviewed. He's really like one of those guys. He's like all in. It's got a little movement there outside the tackle box. Got a guy in space. Keeps on him, keeps on him, keeps on him.
I know. I don't know what Jake Brendel would do watching this tape. Like, dude, you're supposed to let him go after a second. What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Jake would, you know, block. And that first play of the Niner-Seattle game where Jake turned his back on DeMarcus Lawrence, who looped back in and crushed Purdy in the face. It's like, Jake, the play was going on still. But, you know, yeah. The play was, you blocked one guy for 1 second, and then just because you thought the ball was out, you stopped. But the ball
coaching
wasn't out.
Or letting it happen. And the, I mean, he's been doing that on tape for 3 straight seasons. So why change it now?
So there you go. Keelan Rutledge is my guard that I really, really like. All right.
That was fun.
Your center? Do you have a center?
There are 2 elite centers. I don't know if either one of them actually leave their own respective teams, because usually it doesn't happen. Tyler Linderbaum, pay him whatever it takes. Like, you draft this guy, you automatically fix the run game. Center's a major need for me. Jake Brendel, great in pass protection, but the number one reason why the 49ers run game went to absolute crap. And there is no Shanahan Kubiak run game that has been this terrible ever, ever. And that is a problem. Big reason right up front, number 64. Now, Tyler Linderbaum, what's he going to cost? 15, 17 million for a center. He's 26 years old, missed 2 games in his career. The best scheme fit in the history of the zone scheme. Like, he's your number one pick. If you could have any center to run this scheme, Tyler Linderbaum is him. And we've seen Shanahan pay top dollars for centers in the past with Alex Mack. Whenever he first went to the Falcons, you've seen that. So, man, go get him. Connor McGovern, 28 years old. He plays all 3 interior spots. He's going to kind of cost 13 to 14 million. So 2 pricey options. Cade Mays, not really a big fan of, but that's about it. And after that, the cliff just drops. But man, if they could pay at any position, and you told me Tyler Linderbaum or Connor McGovern started at center, I am like elated to watch film for the next several years, because you're actually going to get push up front for the first time ever.
Okay. The center that I like is a late round guy, and he may not even be a draft pick, but I like Pat Coogan, who from Indiana. He was the MVP of the Rose Bowl.
I think he's getting drafted.
This guy's a culture player. He was at Notre Dame. He transferred. Here is a big play. Okay, this is a big play. This is not necessarily what you draft centers for, but it's plays like this that you're glad you have a guy like Coogan. Here he is right here, blocking, and then he's going to hustle down the field to pick up the fumble. Here we go. He's blocking, he's battling. The quarterback takes off. Is the play over? Most guys stop. And here comes Mendoza, and he fumbles up, and there's Coogan.
That's just, you love football players. You love people that care. Whenever you could see it on the silent tape, passion, effort, energy, like, that is incredible. You mean tell me you didn't stop and go back and try to form the huddle? Like, what are we doing here? I didn't know that was allowed.
This guy is tough. Now, I don't know if he's a good enough athlete. You know, that's the thing. He's not a great athlete. But he is tough, and he is a leader, and he is a culture type player, and he's the kind of guy that's going to pick up fumbles like that. And I just, to me, that's a guy. That is a guy to watch. I really like him. I think he could be a foundation piece 49er going forward. All right, let's go to offensive tackle. We're almost done. We got 2 more. Offensive tackle. Now, this is tough because offensive tackle is kind of a position where, man, if you don't draft them in the first half of the first round, a lot of times the best ones are gone. Yeah, Who's your free agent tackle? Because, I do like Josh Jones, who was at Arizona, played at Houston, and then this year was playing for Seattle as the backup to their who was their tackle that went down? Was it Cross? Cross went down and Josh Jones was his backup. And I really like Josh Jones. He's a big kid, very athletic, long arms. I think he's solid. But, you know, offensive line, you're always going to pay a premium for offensive linemen.
And so you're paying 2 premiums, right? You're paying Trent. Now you're paying your right tackle as well. You got to get somebody that's going to be a little cost effective. I think Braxton Jones was with Chicago. He's a younger guy, 26. Hey, man, we're going to sign you. You're going to be our swing guy. And, you know, if Trent does hang him up after this year, I'd get him on a 2-year deal. So that way it's a trial. Look, you're going to be the backup swing guy. Maybe eventually try him out at left tackle. You know, if you're going to spend big time, then you know, Braden Smith is the guy that I would absolutely love to have. But I don't think you want to throw another $20 million in that position. So get you somebody with some upside. So Braxton Jones, you 26 years old. He's got some experience. Let him be the swing guy if he wants to be. But I even think he's going to get paid probably about $10 to $12 million somewhere to be a contributing member. There's not a lot of good old linemen out there, Larry.
No, no. I'll tell you, though, I think I found a sleeper. Uh-oh. I think I found a sleeper offensive lineman, offensive tackle, and I love this kid. He's a Bay Area kid, okay? He went to McClyman's High School in Oakland. 6'4", 330 pounds, two-star JUCO prospect, played at Contra Costa College. J.C. Davis, playing for Illinois. First team started off at New Mexico, first team all Mountain West, 24 starts at New Mexico, 25 starts at left tackle for Illinois, can play tackle or guard, really strong anchor, nasty finisher, one of the most underappreciated offensive linemen in this draft class. And I'm going to show you the film of him. And this guy's going to be a day three guy, but he may, you know, I think probably mid day three, like fifth round. I really love this guy. He plays in this spot. He's playing left tackle. So here he is, the left tackle right here. And watch him just throw this guy away.
Oh, the Steelers just announced their head coach, Mike McCarthy, the new Steelers head coach.
Mike McCarthy.
Look at that. Sorry, man. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Now, Omar Khan and Mike McCarthy go back. Omar Khan has some connection to Mike McCarthy. I'd read that a few weeks ago. And Omar Khan's making the hire. But here is J.C. Davis. Look at this guy.
Yeah.
74, the left tackle. And I love Illinois. I love Big Ten linemen. Look at that.
Oh, he's got some violence to him.
Yeah,
now.
There's some violence.
That upper body strength is there.
Yeah, and look at, I mean, this is, I mean, look at that.
Oh, like the hand technique, man.
And they play a good schedule, and this guy's tough. And I love 74. J.C. Davis, that's my sleeper offensive tackle right there. I love this kid. McClyman's High School, Contra Costa College, super nasty, played in the Big Ten. Love him. He was considering jumping into the draft last year and just opted to go back to Illinois and played another year. He is really something. All right, we'll go to the last one here. Wild card. You can have one wild card pick, John. Any position, anything you want. It can be anything. I had it down as one free agent, one draft pick. My free agent wild card I have is Jalen Phillips.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, for the Eagles, because I just feel like, you know what, the Niners, he was a guy that they probably should have traded for. They didn't trade for him. He wound up going to Philly. Now you could sign him.
That'd be awesome. I went a little cheaper. I went special teams. I could never miss an opportunity to talk special teams. I'm going wide receiver / kick returner, punt returner, Devin Duvernay. Somebody that's just smart, the experience.
Texas,
get him
right
there. Yeah, he's another Texas guy, but just I think I want consistent, and I like Sky Moore. And so if they bring him back, cool. But my biggest issue with Sky Moore is he's due for 1 to 2 just very dumb football decisions every other game, you know, calling fair catch at the 3-yard line, that type of stuff, catching in the end zone, running it out. I would rather have somebody a little bit more football savvy with the experience there. And I think Devin Duvernay is just a damn good returner anyway. And he can help in the run game because he's a burner, or in the passing game.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm going to go with another Indiana player. Indiana really impressed me this year. And I was in the locker room a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to C.J. West. And I said, C.J., is there one Indiana player that's still there that if you ran into John Lynch in March and he's like, hey, C.J., who's the best player on Indiana that you want me to add in the draft? Who would you want? And he's like, oh, man, there's so many. There's so many. He started thinking of it. But then you could tell he was like giving me 100%. And he said, Mikhail Kamara. Here is Kamara in the Natty against Maui Goa. Maui Goa is a monster. He's a probably going to be a top 10 pick. Mikhail Kamara's right here, I believe, or maybe it's him right here. I forget. But he's basically an edge rusher. He's 6 feet, 260. 6 feet. So he's not 6'2", 6'3", 6'5", 6'7". He's 6 feet tall. He's short, right? But this guy's 260, and the motor is off the charts. And here he is against Maui Goa.
Yeah, nice leverage. Good Lord.
And this kid is just hyperactive, and he makes tons and tons of plays. And this is just a basic play where he's just – but he's going up against a guy who's 6'6", 350 or whatever, who's just monster, who's trying to move him. And the same way that C.J. West did an incredible job as a Niner keeping his shoulders square, Kamara's doing the same thing right there, almost they like they were so coached. Well, maybe they coached it up there, right? Look how well he keeps square, even though he's the O-lineman's trying to turn Mikhail Kamara. And that O-lineman's one of the best O-linemen in this draft. And Kamara's a day three pick. And yet, this guy at 260, I want this guy on the Niners. 260, probably going to be in the fifth round, maybe even the sixth round. Mikhail Kamara is going to be way drafted way late. And he is a beast. Absolute beast. So there you go.
I love it, man. Larry, I loved it. I feel like sometimes the world is right when you and I are talking draft free agency. That's kind of how we got started together. And man, it's just always a good time, brother.
Always a good time. Let's hit our last ones and we're out of here. We got this super from B. Sakita, new member.
Oh, I love it, man. Appreciate
always
the support.
Always a clap for a new member there. D. Martinez, check out White, the tight end from Ole Miss. Good blocker, good with the ball in his hands. Replacement for Cuse. Yeah, that I saw that kid too. He is talented. He's big too. He's like big and bulky. James Foster, sign Njoku and draft offensive line and wide receiver in the first two rounds.
Sign me up. I'm in.
Keats says Pitts can't block in line. He would essentially be the new JJ. Yeah. Probably.
That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing.
He's damn good, though. Jerry Martinez, if I were the 49ers, I would assume Trent Williams and George Kittle were retiring this offseason. Wow. Dale says, love all of what ifs, boys. Realistically, though, how many of these guys can you do? How many of these things can you do? 3, 4? Also, John, love you, dude, but I don't understand how this is not a rebuilding team with all these needs. I mean, let's be honest, guys. Let's be totally truthful about this. Every year in the NFL, every year, there's going to be 15 to 20 guys that are new. If you have low turnover, you have 17 new players. If you have high turnover, you have 27 new players. You know what I mean? There's a lot of turnover in the NFL.
You just won 12 games, and you're not losing one key piece. You're not losing one. In fact, you're getting several back. You want to call JJ a key piece, that's fine. I would not. But, no, yeah, 12 wins, and you're not losing any key pieces.
X-Man, Kentucky O-line, Jager Burton is a stud. Check him out.
Oh, I like that name.
Jager Burton. All right. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to Pig in a Pickle. Thanks to Sleeper. Thanks to our good friends at Habas Law. Johnny, we'll give you the final word. It was a good exercise. I think we got stuff done. I think the guy's right. We can't do this every week, but we can do this several times between now and the draft. But thanks to Habas Law, 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. HabasLaw.com on the web. But John, we'll give you the final word before we bolt for the door. And we appreciate everybody for joining us. Almost 2,000 people hanging out in the room.
Man, I love it. I'll say this. You know, the offseason is long, and you know, we're going to be here. And Larry is no stranger to scouting these day three guys and understand what's going on. And I love that I get to come on this show and I get to learn. So I kind of feel like I'm spoiled a little bit, Larry. So I just want to say, man, appreciate all the support throughout the season. And we're ready for the next part. And it's all looking forward. And that's where it's going to be. But, Larry, thank you so much for spending some time with me and let me be on your channel and have a good time. We'll be here all offseason, educating and having a good time learning together.
We'll do it again. Thanks to all you guys. Peace. Yeah, never met a man I've been scared.